Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi and welcome. Thanks for joining me. I'm Aurora Queen. Today is December 5th and you are listening to TechNet Radio. For December, our focus is Office 2007. We're going to be covering topics such as deployment and how you can get ready for Office 2007. But today we cover Open XML formats. Michael Murphy talks with Gray Knowlton about what Open XML formats are and how they are intended to be standard file formats to which any developer or implementer will have access to, ultimately making solution development much simpler than it's been in the past. And then after that interview, I'll have some information on events and webcasts. Here's Michael Murphy and Gray Knowlton on TechNet Radio.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another installment of TechNet Radio. My name is Michael Murphy, and I'm pleased to have with us today Gray Knowlton. Gray, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Gray is the Group Product Manager for the Office Client Technical Product Management Team. Gray has also engaged on product management topics for Microsoft Office Word, InfoPath, and the OpenXML format, which will be the topic of our conversation today. Prior to joining Microsoft, Gray held various product management, system engineering, and technical roles at leading desktop software companies and solution providers for large news organizations. So, Gray, it's a pleasure to have you with us today, and I think the place that we should start is, can you start by telling us what are the OpenXML file formats? What is that?
Well, the OpenXML formats are file formats for the 2007 version of Office and for a lot of other products that, you know, they're based on the current Word, Excel, and PowerPoint binary file formats of past versions of Office. Now, these are intended to be standard file formats to which any developer or implementer will have access. You know, we're moving the file formats for our core authoring applications into a standardized environment so that they can be integrated by really anyone who's building solutions using XML. What we want to do with the OpenXML formats is, you know, take the current document formats for the products, move them into an open environment, but preserve the compatibility of all the features and all the history of the applications in the process. So when we take, you know, our current binary file formats, standardize them, and make them XML-based formats, we'll do so by taking all of the features that are currently supported in Microsoft Office, moving those into the new formats, and then giving a published open specification to the world.
And I guess when I think of XML, immediately I think of portability, right? If it's in an XML format, that's a standard format, and I can take that around with me. And so into other environments. And so the XML file format in Office 2007 will make my Office documents compatible in any application environment that conforms to that OpenXML standard?
That's exactly the intent. And, you know, the entire Office system is really designed for interoperability. Beyond the file formats, we support a number of, you know, standardized data services. We support web services-based connectivity. We support custom schema integration. We support a lot of kind of the laundry list of W3C XML standards in the applications, specifically so that people can build solutions based on Office that integrate with other platforms and systems. Now, what's interesting about the OpenXML formats in particular, and, you know, when we talk about compatibility and interoperability, it's a multidimensional problem. We talk about compatibility across versions of Office, right? That's a critical, critical aspect of file format compatibility. When we move to an open environment, we move to open file format specifications, we have to do so without sacrificing this core basic compatibility that exists today. People demand it. It's not like, you know, they would be willing to trade off openness for this level of document exchange with other versions. People won't move to an open file format if it doesn't work in every version of Office that they're using.
And that's vitally important because my understanding is that there's something like 40 billion Office documents out there today.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, when we designed the OpenXML formats and we worked with the ECMA Standardization Committee, the goal really was to maintain perfect compatibility with these existing documents. We really want to make sure that when these get moved forward, we're not going to sacrifice fidelity or, you know, integrity or, you know, encounter situations of data loss when we're migrating. you know, it kind of lends itself to the second half of the compatibility question, which is, yeah, what do other applications and what do other systems do? In the past, you know, it's been difficult to integrate binary file formats because people were trying to guess at the data structures and so on. But now, because they have the published specification, they get the full Microsoft Office feature set for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint documented in a file format that they can then use and implement in their own application. There's no more, you know, kind of guessing games or no more ambiguity about what should and should not be in a document.
So I guess that this kind of begs the question, why did Microsoft choose to standardize in this open XML format?
Well, so we chose
to standardize the open XML format, I guess I should say.
Yeah, the file format standardization was really driven by a number of factors, but primarily it was around the goals that we have in Office for interoperability. We really want to build the entire Office system, whether those are the client applications or SharePoint or a lot of the other foundational technology. We want to build that to interoperate with other systems. We want to make sure that if you want to get data out of a line of business app and put that into a Word document, you have a well-defined path for doing so. Or if you want to exchange documents between several different word processing applications, you can take the same file and edit it in many places. We wanted to facilitate this as well. Even, you know, server-based document assembly, content sanitization, there are a number of scenarios that were really driving our need for interoperability of the system. You know, core to interoperability, of course, is the use of XML and other integration standards. And, you know, when we started with XML back in Office 2000, you know, we've been kind of slowly migrating this switch to the 2007 system where we are today, where we're to the point where really to drive the level of interoperability and advanced solution development that we really want to get to, it almost requires that we standardize the format.
So let's talk specifically then about Office 2007, which was recently released to manufacturing and our customers will be able to get in their hands in the near term. How can you give us some insight into how the Office 2007 system uses the OpenXML file format?
Well, so we can answer that question a lot of ways.
Okay.
From a basic standpoint, the way that they use these file formats is exactly no different than the way that they used any other file format. You know, you double-click one and it opens and you save it and you print it and you edit it and you kind of do all the things that most users do with a file today. In that sense, the experience is exactly the same. What's different
for
the
end user experience.
Yeah, the end user experience. Now, for developers or for solution providers or for other people, the experience is dramatically different because of the file format architecture. The OpenXML formats are designed to separate specific types of content into different parts within the file. For example, the comments or macros or other, you know, unique content within a document is stored as a separate XML part within the document. So if you wanted to do something like scan a document to look for comments before it exited the firewall, you can open the container, look for the part that's called comments.xml, remove that, update the relationships, and now you've sanitized the document to not have comments. There are a number of scenarios like that where the design of the OpenXML formats really makes solution development much, much simpler than it's been in the past. Another key aspect of the modular architecture, and a great example, is what we've done around the separation of macro-enabled formats. We can now take documents that contain macros and isolate those in a specific format. These will be designated with an M extension in the 2007 system. And, you know, just by looking at the file format extension now, IT administrators, people who are looking at email servers and firewalls can tell whether or not a document is capable of executing a macro. Like a DOCX, the default file format for Word, isn't allowed to have macros, and even if somebody put one in there, it won't execute it. So they can look at a DOCM file, which is the macro-enabled equivalent, put the macros in there, and then allow organizations to have a much greater level of control. So for the end users, same experience. Nothing changes. It's just a file. But for developers, IT pros, administrators, the opportunity to control what's happening inside of that file is much greater than it's ever been.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that I want to touch on in there and maybe expand on a little bit. Because in terms of functionality, this conversation exposes a lot of very interesting scenarios to me. The first is the modular nature of the XML. You made the suggestion that I could as a document was being passed through the firewall, I could actually examine that document for that XML comments section and actually extract that, pull that out, sanitize that document?
Yes, that's exactly right.
How would I do that?
Well, so the architecture of the OpenXML formats is interesting in the sense that the file format itself is actually a zip container, which has a bunch of discrete XML parts and well-defined relationships. So literally, what someone would do is open the zip container that contains the XML parts, navigate through the tree, identify the part that is named comments.xml, do with that part as they choose, whether it's remove it or just read its contents or do something like that, update any relationships that point to that part within the file, and then restore the zip container. It's really, you know, from a development standpoint, it's I don't want to call it simple, but it's a fairly straightforward exercise. There's really no magic there. Even for styles or, you know, one of the unique features of the OpenXML formats is if you have arbitrary XML data that you want to introduce into a file, we can store that in a separate part and manage that separately. So if you have data bindings to a backend system, we can store that as a unique separate XML component and just refresh that data on the fly as we're looking at the zip container. We don't need users to go query or we don't need them to press buttons in the interface. We can just update the zip underneath it by changing the individual parts within the document. Another unique aspect of this is that, you know, because we now separate individual types of components within the file, like charts or images or style information or fonts or other things, you know, if one of those things becomes corrupt, you know, we don't lose the entire document anymore when one of those things get damaged. Like today, if you have an Ole object in a document that gets destroyed, the entire file is generally lost. Right? We try to recover it now, but it's hard in the binary format. But the modular nature of the XML formats allows us to, you know, isolate specific types of content, and if one fails to load, it's not going to prevent us from loading the other parts that are in the document. We can separate out bad components in the document, identify those as being malformed, but we can continue to open the file.
That's fascinating. And from the comments perspective, one of the things that I always have a concern about is making publicly available or customer-ready documents available that contain metadata that, like comments or author descriptions, that sort of thing, that I don't necessarily want to go out publicly. And so before I take any document and give it over to customers, I strip out that metadata, either manually or using a metadata removal tool. But you're making a suggestion that moving forward we'll be able to develop an automated process to do that.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you look in the 2007 products today in Word and Excel and PowerPoint, there is a feature there called the Document Inspector. And that's exactly what it does. It's going to look at a document, and I try to identify metadata, hidden text, track changes, other stuff, and will allow you to remove that directly from that interface. It's also extensible. So if you wanted to look for smart tags or company names or phone numbers or something like that, you could add components into the Document Inspector that will do that. From a programmatic standpoint, or if you're administering this from the back end, like through a firewall or an email server, yes, the architecture of the file is specifically designed so that you can interrogate and sanitize or modify content as necessary with minimal disruption to the file. Right? If you want to delete the comments, we don't want to destroy the remainder of the document. Or if you want to isolate specific types of metadata that are not allowed to access the firewall, the structure of the files is designed so that it makes it very easy to do that.
And so I can literally take the responsibility for that corporate compliance or standard out of the hands of the users and put it in a process that I can manage.
Exactly. And, you know, from a, you know, implementation standpoint, you know, the ZIP and XML-based modular architecture makes it much simpler. But also from an advanced capability standpoint, we allow organizations to define their own data language or their own vocabulary or schema for the metadata that they're using in the document. If you want to define your own custom schema for metadata, you can use that, host it within the document container itself, and manage that information just like you would any other part of the file. And we can completely separate the data or the metadata or other information in the document from the presentation and content. We can deal with that information specifically in many different situations.
Fascinating. Now, I want to go back, too, to this question of file extension. Because, of course, generally, I always show all my file extensions so I can see what I'm looking at. And the DOX extension is the default document extension for Microsoft Word. Now, in Office 2007. DOCX, pardon me. And you had said that there's a DOCM, which indicates that that's macro-enabled?
That's correct. So people who are looking at the 2007 release will notice a number of new extensions. They will either end in X or M, or, you know, there are a number of new formats that we're introducing. You know, the X extensions are the default file formats for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, so DOCX, XLSX, PPTX. They are the standardized ECMA Office Open XML format equivalents that we're supporting in the Office system.
Right.
So, but the M, like the macro-enabled formats, .docm, XLSM, PPTM, and so on, are the macro-enabled versions of these same formats.
Right. So, now, so just by looking at that file extension, I'll have some sense of what it is I'm looking at.
Exactly. And specifically with the macro-enabled formats, the reason why we did that is because, you know, we don't want people to have to open or parse a document to know whether or not it's capable of executing an embedded macro. Right? We just want to know by looking at the extension. Some organizations will choose to enable or disable macro-enabled files, and now they can do that just by looking at what extension is on it.
And can you give us a rundown of the others? What else is there? What else should I be looking for when I
so there are, there are new
2007?
Well, so there are new template formats. There are new add-in formats. You know, there's a new slideshow format for PowerPoint. One new interesting format that's worth pointing out is the new XLSB format, which is a new binary format for Excel. And it is intended for sophisticated or advanced workbooks that have a lot of calculations, queries, and a lot of other things, where, you know, when we see in ultra-high-end scenarios where the performance of XML workbooks will degrade just based on the complexity and the number of tags and so on. So we wanted to have a binary equivalent for really advanced documents that people are creating so that they're not sacrificing performance for the level of openness that we're providing in the broad XML format.
So if I'm an IT manager for a hedge fund that, and my investment folks, they often have these complex Excel spreadsheets that do all kinds of projections and calculations against currency trading around the world, that would fall into this XLSE category?
Yeah, that's definitely in line with the scenarios that we're targeting. And the recommendation that we make for customers is to say that, look, you know, if you want to, you know, decide whether XLSX, XLSB, or just XLS, just test them. I think people will be positively or pleasantly surprised at, first of all, the size reduction in the new XLSX and the XLSB formats, right, and the data integrity, or the recoverability of the files is much better. So hopefully they'll elect to move to the new formats just based on those merits alone. But, yeah, when it comes to choosing between the XLSX or XLSM versus XLSB format, it will be around performance of very complex workbooks.
And for the end user, that's as simple as a save as operation?
Exactly. And any of these formats, you know, kind of the current binaries or the new XML formats or even the XLSB format, we can set those as the default save format for any of these applications.
Okay. So with these changes, and these are significant changes, I think I have to ask the question what the impact on existing Office documents is going to be. We said earlier that there's about 40 billion Office documents out there right now today, and you had suggested that they're all just going to come over fine.
So this is probably the most important topic that people will face in the near term with file formats. Because there's a lot of traffic in a lot of circles about file formats and about compatibility, but this is an aspect of the OpenXML formats that are unique. You know, in a lot of other applications, when they introduce new file formats, you'll see them do things like force people to upgrade to the new version to use the new format. And they'll say, if you want to collaborate with the old version, use the old format. We see that in a lot of tools from a lot of different vendors. But as you say, the large number of documents, and more importantly, the large number of users of the software that we have with Office, we don't really have that luxury. We must enable a way to exchange new file formats with old versions of the product. Right? We just can't break that. We tried that in Office 97. people reacted negatively, so we've responded this time with a little bit different behavior. So people can now download and install a free compatibility pack for the OpenXML formats for Office 2000, Office XP, and Office 2003. This will allow anybody to download this compatibility pack, install it, and they will be able to open and edit and save documents using the new OpenXML format. For users of Office 2000, you know, you'll even be able to do things like right-click on the Windows Explorer shell and convert files between binary and XML formats.
So if I get the Office compatibility pack installed on my home desktop that's running Office 2003, and somebody sends me an XLSX document, I'll be able to open that, edit it, work with it, and send it back to them in a way that they'll be able to access it and work with it.
That's correct. That's exactly what it's designed to do.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's also worth pointing out that the current binary file formats, XLS, are fully supported in 2007. And the net effect is, you know, we don't want the choice of a file format to dictate how people collaborate. Right? So, you know, we don't want to make people use one particular format over another. We want them to choose the format that they like the best. So if they want to use XLS, they can do that. Or if they want to use XLSX, they can do that as well. This will allow people to just exchange files back and forth and not have to worry about the save as and all kind of the unnecessary trickery that it takes to get kind of sharing of content across versions historically.
So can I ask, the Office 2007 compatibility pack, currently that's a download that I've got to go out, I've got to get, I've got to install it. Will it be available as an automatic update, or is there a process that I can go through? If I've got 2,000 desktops that I want to get that out there on, how can I automate that process or get it out there?
That's a great question. So there are two aspects to compatibility enablement. For Office XP in 2003, there is actually something called an awareness patch that we're offering, and that is a critical update. So if you're keeping Office up to date with security fixes and hot fixes and so on, you probably already have this file format awareness update. And the significance of that is that if somebody does send you a DOCX or an XLSX, as long as you're current on your Office updates, your system will never be in a position that it doesn't know what to do with it. You know, once you double-click on a DOCX, it will tell you, you know, this format was created by a newer version of Word. Would you like to go get a converter to open it? Yes or no? So once you go do that, it will download and install the compatibility pack for you, and then your system will be enabled to open and save the OpenXML formats. Now, the compatibility pack itself, the converter, will not be an automatic update. And, you know, typically we would reserve those types of automatic updates for security fixes or other things, so we're going to make that a manual download that people can go get. The good news is for enterprise deployment or people using deployment software, the compatibility pack is fully compatible with SMS, Tivoli, all the other common deployment tools, so you can roll that out across an organization.
And that's clearly what I want to be able to do. Right?
Yeah.
I've got to be able to do that, so that's great.
Yeah, and a lot of the guidance that we provide customers is, you know, even, you know, for whatever reason, if you chose not to deploy 2007 on the first day, I guess that's up to them. But, you know, if you're going to use 2003 or XP or 2000, even if you continue to use these applications, you will start seeing the OpenXML formats. Because they're the default for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, people are going to install the products, start creating documents using these formats, and they're going to get sent around.
Yep.
So it's a very, very good idea to test compatibility and enable compatibility for your existing users.
So it seems to me, we've talked about a number of clear benefits that and things that I can do here that I could never do before. Is there anything else that you can think of that I can do now in Office 2007 with this file format that I just could never possibly have done before?
Well, there are 100 things, but there are a couple things that are worth pointing out. So one of the things that we like to separate is the actual version of Office versus the file format. Because really the migration and the movement to open file formats isn't necessarily dependent on this release of the product. Right? We're standardizing the file formats. It coincides with the release of the product, but they're not totally dependent on each other. So when we talk about the OpenXML formats, we really want to promote the value for Office 2003, Office XP, 2007, whatever people are using. And what people will see when they move to the OpenXML formats, you know, apart from the better file integrity, improved solution development capabilities, you know, just very basic, you know, you'll see a dramatic reduction in file size for Word and Excel documents, right? A document that's, you know, 100K DOC file will be about, you know, somewhere between 25 and 65K in DOCX. It's a dramatic size reduction. So if you start migrating to the OpenXML formats en masse, you should see your entire organization's storage and bandwidth requirements reduce. Right? You know, you're sending less bits over the network, you're taking up less hard drive space just because the file formats are smaller.
Sure.
So there are a number of benefits. But again, you know, it's important for us to emphasize that it's more than just 2007. It's 2003, it's XP, it's the prior versions of Office that can take advantage of this format as well.
Well, we are just about out of time, Gray. I really want to thank you for this discussion. This has been very interesting to me and enlightening. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, well, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's always fun to come and talk about file formats. But I would just say, you know, for people who are interested in the OpenXML formats, we have OpenXMLDeveloper.org. We have Office Online. There are a number of solutions and content available for people to begin evaluating the formats. And, you know, we would encourage people to test. Take a look at standardized document formats. I think you'll find that the OpenXML formats favor very positively in terms of compatibility, size, performance. There are a number of benefits that are unique to the OpenXML formats where we think we're well suited to give people an open file format that's usable and implementable across an entire enterprise.
Well, Gray, I certainly appreciate your insight and your time today. Thank you so much for joining us. And ladies and gentlemen, for TechNet Radio, I'm Michael Murphy. See you next time on the radio.
Michael Murphy speaking with Gray Knowlton on TechNet Radio. There are a couple links Gray mentioned there at the end of the interview. First, check out OpenXMLDeveloper.org for more great information, and also the Office Online site, which is office.microsoft.com. Both those links are up on our site for you to access from there if you like as well, microsoft.com/TNRadio. And now I have some information for you on webcasts and events. There are a couple on-demand webcasts that dive into OpenXML formats a bit deeper, so I wanted to tell you about those. The first one is an MSDN webcast titled Microsoft Office OpenXML Formats, and that's level 300. Learn about the huge change that will affect the role that Office documents can play in business processes and solutions. Previously, binary formats meant that Office documents were treated like a black box. But now the OpenXML formats allow documents to serve as a first-class source of data as they travel through workflow and other business processes and solutions. This webcast delves into schemas, solution code, and numerous examples. The presenter for that one is Brian Jones. He's a senior program manager here at Microsoft, and he's been working on XML support in Office for the past 6 years. The next webcast I wanted to tell you about is a TechNet webcast that's titled Working with the Office Open XML Formats, and that's level 200. In this webcast, you'll get an overview of the new formats, and you'll see sample scenarios that show how using documents that take advantage of the Open XML formats can help you solve a variety of business problems productively and efficiently. And the presenter for that one is one of our own TechNet presenters, Keith Combs. I posted the links for those up on our site, or to find those events and other webcasts, visit microsoft.com/webcasts. The Real-Time and Embedded Computing Conference is coming to Portland, Oregon tomorrow, December 6th, and then Seattle, Washington on December 8th. Real-Time and Embedded Computing Conferences are complimentary, technical, and educationally focused seminars, workshops, and keynotes, plus also demonstrations of the latest technologies from industry leaders. The website for that is rtecc.com. So that's all I have for you today. You know I always love to get feedback from you. Let me know what you think of our podcast, or if you have any content ideas, just email me at tnradio@microsoft.com. Also, you can call with any feedback. Our listener line is 877-814-6506. Thanks for listening today. I look forward to next time. For everyone here at TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.